We're just coming off of, obviously, the elections here in the United States. If you think I'm going to talk about the elections, you're crazy. This idea of election, right? And so in a certain sense, the people confer power on those who are elected. This arrangement, this way of the conferring of power and governance is not unique, obviously, to the United States. It goes way back, even to the Roman and the Greek worlds. There was a notion that an emperor or a king, power, imperium, was conferred upon them by those whom they were going to be overseeing, their subjects. And you kind of have this situation going on in the first reading with David. So how does David, he's going to be the second king of the United Kingdom, right? So Saul comes before him. And so now we have David. All of the tribes go to Hebron, and they try to convince David to be their king. And so they give arguments of like why you should be our king, and what are they? How do they start off? Well, bone and flesh. You're our bone and flesh. You're one of us. You're family, right? So you have a responsibility that should convince you that you need to be our leader, to be our king. And then they come with another argument. Look how you led the people in and out. Look how you've exercised leadership. You've been successful. You can do this, and it will be helpful. So that's their second argument, right? And then the third argument, which went a long way with David, because we know that David was an incredible man of faith. We go back to one of his first stories, him and Goliath, right? Of
like, dear brothers and sisters.
David. So with David and Goliath, David goes basically on pure faith. He's a fool. The whole situation is laughable, right? And he comes out victorious. And so the third reason we hear about in that first reading, how the tribes, the 12 tribes, are trying to convince him is that God has appointed you to be the king of Israel. God has said that this is God's will for you. So these three reasons, and David is convinced, right? And so they elect David as king. And so then what happens? They anoint him as king, and then he reigns. And he has a wonderful reign of many years, and thanks be to God that he accepted and was anointed. I think we have the Psalms, you know, they're attributed to David in the many works, one of the main figures in the Old Testament. So this reading is chosen and placed on this Sunday for a reason, because this is the last Sunday of the church year. It's Christ the King Sunday. And so David is going to, the idea with David is he's a figure of Christ who is to come, who is going to be the ultimate, the supreme king, right? And we hear the story of how Jesus is hanging on the cross, right? And the inscription, the King of the Jews. So it's highlighting his kingship. It's not the kind of kingship that the people were expecting or probably even wanting. They wanted a king like David who was going to be successful and victorious, right? So we all acknowledge, we all, you know, see how Jesus is king. But I think there, for us, there's a challenge. There has to be another step for us. What do I mean here? All of the tribes went to David, and they related to him why he should be their king, right? Well, in a certain sense, all of us, we have to choose and elect Jesus to be our king. We have to personally make that choice. So how do we do that? Well, he's ready to be our king, but on a certain sense, he has to be convinced, he has to be wanted for his kingship to be powerful in our lives. And the first way that we go about this is what? Well, you're flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. You know, the Son of God became man. And so you're one of us. And you suffered everything on the cross, as we hear in the gospel today. So you're the one. You can relate to us. You met us in our misery. And so for us to make that personal choice, to us to go to the Lord in that spirit. And And then secondly, well, we recognize all of the things, Lord, that you've done in times past, how you've worked in people's lives. I want you to work in our life. I want you to work in my life now. I want you to be king. And then the third reason, from the beginning, that God ordained that he would send his son into the world to save us. It's the eternal plan of God that you be my king, that you be our king. And so for us to personally elect him, okay, that's the only way that the power is going to be brought forth. The Imperium, in a certain sense, is emerges when we make the election, because we do have a part. And so we can't be passive. Most of the time we're passive in our relationship with God, but we have to be like the elders that are representing the tribes and to choose Jesus Christ as our king. And for those analogous reasons that the leaders and the tribes mention in the reading from Samuel here. And then once we choose him, we have to anoint him. We have to anoint him our king. Well, how do we anoint Jesus as our king? Well, what kind of king is he? He's the king of salvation. And as we're going to hear in the preface, okay, in the second part of the Mass, that his altar was the cross. That was what he offered himself on. So he's exercising his most powerful act of kingship on the cross. And for what purpose? To extend mercy to us in our misery. So you know what? We just have a day left of this year of mercy. Tomorrow concludes the year of mercy. Here's one. How about if we anoint Christ as our king by anointing him with the chrism of mercy, by extending mercy to someone that we are harboring ill will towards or hurt towards in our hearts and lives? Every single one of us right now has someone that we are hurt about, that have done us harm, that we are frustrated with. Let's anoint Christ, call to mind that person, and extend forgiveness to them in your heart. That, my brothers and sisters, would be a great way to end the year of mercy, by making Christ our king, electing him, choosing him, and then anointing him by extending mercy to someone who has hurt or harmed us.